Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
Welcome to Switzerland in Sound. This is Bob Zanotti. It's time for another Letter from Switzerland, in which we try to reflect Swiss life through our own eyes. Today's letter is written and presented by my American-Canadian friend, Aubrey Diem, from his home in the mountains of Canton Valley in southern Switzerland.
Happy New Year. It's the beginning of another year. But here in the Alps, it's also the beginning of another season of snow sports. The cost of a skiing holiday keeps rising. Skis can cost over 1,000 francs, boots over 500 francs, lift tickets can cost up to 80 francs a day. Add in the extras, such as goggles, sunglasses, helmets, and gloves, to outfit a family or four or five. Yes, skiing has become a sport for the super rich, at least in much of Switzerland. But you can always take up cross-country skiing to regain the tranquility of the mountains and also to keep the cost much lower. Many skiers take up off-trail skiing to escape the increased crowding, congestion, snowboarders, and waiting times on the lift lines at the major resorts, or simply to escape the rat race by skiing off the trails. This may sound pleasant and relaxing, but it can be dangerous. The ski season is here, and injuries and avalanche-related deaths are already mounting. The first avalanche victim at the end of the year was a 23-year-old Swedish woman who was skiing off-piste in the Verbier area, not far from here in southern Switzerland. She was carried away by an avalanche, and despite having the latest safety devices, such as an inflatable vest, to prevent one from being buried in the snow, an electronic beeper to aid rescuers, she died unnecessarily. Unfortunately, more and more skiers are skiing off the mark runs, searching for a kick by going in regions that are not controlled and secured. The accessories that they have, such as vests, homing devices, and small shovels, provide a false sense of security. When you're outside of the prepared ski runs, you enter the domain of raw nature in the Alps, a domain which most city folks know nothing about. Avalanches are a normal, powerful force that can occur wherever there are steep slopes and snow. And let me emphasize that this applies to all users of the ski slopes, whether classic downhill skiers or snowboarders. Avalanches have many causes, such as weather, wind, and movement of skiers. The causes are known in a general sense, but they cannot be predicted with precision. Even a trained guide can tell you there is danger from avalanches, but not when an avalanche will occur. If one is covered by an avalanche, he or she has about 15 minutes to live. If alerted, it takes at least 15 minutes by helicopter to locate the victim and longer to dig the person out. Do not underestimate the power of avalanches. Powder avalanches can move at speeds of up to 200 kilometers an hour. People can be pretty dumb. I once met a man on the cross-country trails in the upper valley of Beyond Zinal. He caught my attention because he was wearing shorts and high socks and dragging his boots and skis behind. I met him at the bridge across the river at the end of the valley. He had a perplexed look and was studying a topographical map of the area. He had to cross a bridge, but obviously this bridge was not the one he had to cross. I studied the map and told him that he had to go further up the valley, take the road that leads down to the river, and follow the signs from there. He was trying to go to a mountain hut over 3,000 meters above where we were, and once out of the forest, would be climbing on slopes that offer no protection against avalanches. He left me, took my telephone number, and headed off. I told him to ski down the next day, early in the morning, as the spring snow was still frozen. I never knew if he ever made it to the cabin. He was improperly dressed, did not know the area, and was alone. Was he trying to commit suicide? Oh, well, one thing that I've learned in my 81 years on Earth, you cannot protect individuals from themselves. And I'm saying this as a veteran skier and ski instructor.
In addition to the newly produced material offered on the website and here on PCJ Media, we also feature some old vintage reports and features from the pre-Switzerland in Sound days. The information they contain may no longer be valid or up to date, but we present this material as a sound document for your listening pleasure. Here is one of those vintage items.
That's a piece of Swiss country, or if you prefer, folk music. It's called a landler. And now, here's a Swiss alphorn. And this is Swiss yodeling. And now listen to another form of Swiss folk music.
Ich weiß es wird lieder zweiter Wahl, weiß nummer nicht wo es weiter soll, weiß nummer nicht wo es weiter soll. Das Hirtli, das trieft aus dem Wald durchhin, dem Feinsle vor sie's Laden blin, dem Feinsle vor sie's Laden blin.
That's the music of Swiss folk singer Hans-Peter Treichler. Hans-Peter, your music is quite obviously different than the landler, the yodel, and very obviously the alphorn we just heard. And as a matter of fact, I think that's because you don't really agree that those are the original forms of Swiss folk music.
Oh, they are most certainly not. What it all started with, and that's way back in the Middle Ages, those were ballads, narrative songs, and they were related to what the minstrels, the wandering minstrels, brought from Burgundy or from Germany or from Italy. Those people who sang on the marketplaces and in the taverns, and they didn't always sing, they told stories as well, and in between they sang. This was a kind of song, a kind of music that was called chant de fable, and many of the very old Swiss folk songs developed out of these medieval themes.
Well, Hans-Peter, we'll be hearing more of your kind of music a little later on, but right now let's concentrate on what many people do think of as Swiss folk music, and that is the landler type. I think you must know Roland Fink, don't you?
Oh, yeah, we were in some concerts together, yes.
Well, Roland is a music teacher near Winterthur, northern Switzerland, and he's also the leader of the Roland Fink Singers, and they're a group of people performing many of the old traditional songs. And in fact, they're scheduled, I think, to go to the United States on tour next year. Won't hurt Swiss folk music any, I guess.
No, I don't think so.
Well, instrumentally speaking, speaking only of the music here, I asked Roland Fink himself to outline the typical instruments which make up the traditional Swiss country band.
The accordion, for instance, which is a folk instrument, all over the world. There is one instrument maybe you don't find in the western and in the northern parts of Switzerland. That is the Hackbrett. That is an instrument which is like the Hungarian cymbal and is especially used in the eastern part of Switzerland, in Appenzell and St. Gall.
Thank you.
And what about the other parts of Switzerland? We're very used to seeing and hearing the clarinet, for example. You mentioned the accordion. And the bass violin.
Well, I don't know exactly why these instruments have just an important in Swiss folk music. They have an important in folk music in any other too. The clarinet, for instance, is also very important in Greece or in the Balkan countries. And the bass is also very popular in all folk music because of a musical, that's a musical reason. It gives the rhythm for the dancers, because folk music is usually a dancing music, and the bass is the basis for the dancer. And especially in our folk music, it's important because there is usually no other rhythmic instrument than the bass.
Well, before we go on to other things, I'd like to talk a little bit about the minstrels. Now, they're a Swiss group in eastern Switzerland who made a very big international hit a couple of years ago with a piece of music called Grüezi wohl, Frau Stienima, and it's based on traditional Swiss country music. Paul Suffren had a rather rare chance of talking with the minstrels and comparing their music with traditional Swiss folk music.
What you do is you would take a Swiss folk song, a Ländler, as you would say,
yeah,
and adapt it to your particular instruments, guitar and violin.
Yeah. It will come out as a swinging Swiss folk music anyway, because we have two guitars and there are rhythm guitars, and so it becomes naturally becomes a jazz rhythm almost.
Let's listen to the differences between the traditional and the minstrel treatment of another folk song. The first version is the traditional way. And now let's hear what the minstrels have done with the same song.
Well, Hans-Peter Treichler, how do you rate, personally, the minstrels as a contribution to the development of Swiss folk music?
I think that, first of all, they brought happiness back to folk music. You can see this very clearly on television sometimes when you see the traditional groups playing. They're playing very seriously with a very earnest face, and when the minstrels come on stage, well, everybody's just grinning. And, well, to look at them with their long hair, and that you'd expect them to play some far-out music, but what they play is traditional music, and this, of course, encouraged many other young people to do the same thing. Folk groups who until now had, curiously enough, only played British or Scotch or Irish or American folk music, so they enlarged their repertory as well.
You think that the minstrels are, in a way, leading the way toward a turning point in the evolution of traditional music?
They are, yeah, in some ways.
Well, just so we can't be accused of ignoring the music of non-German-speaking Switzerland, which we've spoken about up till now, we should mention that the French, Italian, and Romance-speaking parts of the country do have a lot of their own music, but because, quite frankly, we don't have a lot of time today, let's concentrate on French Switzerland, because it's the second largest linguistic and cultural group in Switzerland. And I talked with Georges-Henri Pantillon, who is the director of two choir groups in French-speaking Switzerland, and as I found out, there isn't very much old, traditional French-Swiss music around today, But there are a lot of choirs.
The French part of Switzerland had, naturally, also old folk songs. Most of them got lost, probably because we have lost our dialect. In the French part of Switzerland, we speak French in a way which is very close to the way French people speak it. As a matter of fact, our French is closer to any of the speaking ways of France than between one valley and another in the German part of Switzerland. Their dialects are much more different. And so our old folk songs have gotten lost in the same time as our language got lost. And so in the lack of old folk song, French-Swiss composers have composed a whole repertoire at the end of last century and the beginning of this century, a repertoire based on traditional melodies, but with a more modern harmonic flavor and more complicated rhythmic patterns. One of the most famous of those pieces is the Là-haut sur la montagne by Beauvais, Là-haut sur la montagne, which is supposed to have been translated in about 30 or 35 foreign languages.
The choir tradition is rather old, it would seem, in Switzerland, and almost every village or so has its own little choir. Can you go back and possibly trace the basic history of the Swiss choir?
What I know is that we started having choirs in many Swiss villages sometime during last century. It must have come mostly from the German countries, and reached gradually the French part of Switzerland. And those choirs were mostly a reunion of the men of the village or the men of the city who had an opportunity every week to get together, sing, drink, play cards, and discuss politics or other things.
There's a kind of new wave in folk singing here in Switzerland that is using non-Swiss instruments like the guitar to accompany Swiss folk songs. And here's a special case, Tony Vescoli. He's from Zurich, and Tony was the leader of a Swiss pop group for several years, and then he decided to start writing his own folk-style music using the Swiss dialect of Zurich German with what Tony calls the international folk music sound. Here's an example.
Sie heißt Susanne und um Land immer hoch wie Wila umeinander. Doch ihr stinkt's, sie möchte in die Stadt. Sie fänzelt einfach schaurig glatt. Dann auf dem Land ist doch nüt los. Dort in der Stadt, dort wird's dann gross, wenn du logisch denkst, dann siehst du sie. Wenn du ein bisschen top.
Well, Tony Vescoli thinks that what made North American folk music what it is was the willingness to accept new and different forms of music. And he says that Swiss folk music is too conservative and won't accept foreign musical influence. And this is what Tony's trying to introduce to the Swiss public. Well, when I talked to Tony Vescoli, I thought that maybe the mixture of Swiss-German dialect and basically American-style folk sound might disturb the Swiss. But Tony told me he found no problem at all.
Yeah, it's funny, but when I'm playing Swiss-German songs, everybody's quite silent, you know, nobody's talking, everybody's listening. And then I sing another song in English, maybe. They somewhere start to talk about the Swiss-German song, you know. It's so funny. So at first I was a little bit angry. I thought they're talking. They're just talking. And I asked some friends, were they talking about it? And they said they all were talking about the song before. between the English song. And then when I started with a Swiss-German song again, they were quiet again, you know.
That was Tony Vescoli. Hans-Peter, you heard that short interview. Do you agree with Tony's philosophy of bringing in the foreign, or what he calls the international sound, to the evolution of Swiss folk music in his style?
Yeah, I think he's perfectly right, because folk music dies if it doesn't adopt and absorb new sounds from outside. They did this here in Switzerland until 120 years ago. For instance, polka or mazurka that those Swiss bands played, they were imported from Poland or from Austria and so on. But then it stopped and, well, Swiss folk music went dead. And I completely agree with Tony that something new should be tried, and I think he's very successful in what he does.
So it's time for fresh air.
Yeah, well, and he brings it in, he really does.
Hans-Peter, what does the name Mani Mater mean to you?
Mani Mater, he was the, you could call him the spiritus rector of a Bernese group of singers. They called themselves the Bernese Troubadours. I say he was because, well, he died about 2 years ago in a car accident. And he has become something of a legend here in Switzerland.
Mir hat der Dings verzählt, der Dings heig ihm gesagt, der wüsste der, wo da vorletzt ist an dem Dings gsi. Ja, eben der heig ihm gesagt, es gäb jetzt neuerdings so Dings. Ich hab zum Dings.
Well, Hans-Peter, it's a nice song. Well, unfortunately, we can't listen to all of it, but what he does, he plays with the language. And, well, he fits in a great movement that started in the middle of the 60s, when the poets also here in Switzerland started to use dialect. Well, it's a worldwide movement even. They do it in Austria and Germany as well. Well, and he is a singing poet, one could say.
And the troubadours we talked about before are Bernese. They compose their own music, sung in the Bernese dialect of Swiss German. And I had a chance of speaking with three of them, Bernhard Stienemann, Rudi Krebs, and the first female member of the troubadours, Margaret Fichter. And actually, of course, we couldn't avoid talking about Mani Mater. And looking back, I asked Bernhard Stienemann if the songs of Mani Mater represented a turning point in the evolution of Swiss folk music. Seems to be a theme throughout this program, in the sense that his songs reflected the changing Swiss society.
Certainly not in the beginning, but I know the last songs, the latest songs of Mani Mater, and I would say finally yes. Finally had some social responsibility to, and he tried to make songs in this direction. That's why I am so unhappy he couldn't make other songs. Because I think the most important songs, he will never write them.
Is it possible to pick out, in your opinion, one very vital or important turning point in the history or the development, the evolution of the troubadours as a group, as a musical style, as a sound?
Their first songs were, well, more, I don't know, maybe it's the wrong word, primitive, but they had jokes and funny ideas, and they made songs out of them. They still do a bit sometimes today, but today they want to say more. They sing more important things.
Do you think that your contribution to the Swiss music scene, well, I'm thinking all the way back to the Landler, bringing it up to date with the troubadours, with the chanson, is this part of the evolution of Swiss music or something else?
When I walked through the streets of Bern, I often hear fathers talking to their child, look here, that's the man who made that song, sing it to him. There we can see that a lot of children are singing our songs, and they know them by heart. There's a very big influence and result we see in 10 or 20 years.
Ich laufe die Länge gegen auf, als nicht präsent. Ich lerte die Schirke, nicht etwa elegant, und der Luft bliesst mit Nase. Und langsam wird's Nacht, ein Mann vom Schnitzen, keine hingen mehr lacht. Ich laufe in die Länge gegen auf und denke ein bisschen an dich. Und manchmal an einen anderen, als ist der schon dabei und ist bei mir Kätschi. Und ich gerade im Mund hatte, das mit auf die Strasse verkehrt und lege die Händchen an.
Margaret Pfister of the Bernese Troubadour singing a very personal song about love and a lonely walk in Bern. And now, Hans-Peter Treichler, where do you stand in the current Swiss folk music scene?
Well, I don't want to sound too modest about this, but I think I'm on a more academic side of it, trying to unearth some of the roots of the old folk songs and perhaps establishing a link between contemporary songs and traditional songs that have been forgotten for such a long time, too long a time.
You think there's still something in the past which is worth hearing again?
Oh, there's hundreds and hundreds of songs that I'd like to work out.
Well, I'm afraid it was a short talk shop this month, thanks to our sporting friends at St. Moritz. But I hope we've been able to at least break some of the ice in terms of Swiss folk music, where it came from, and where it's going. This is Bob Zanotti and
Hans-Peter Treichler.
Thanks very much for listening. And Hans-Peter, take us out.
Ich weiß es wirklich, das weidet wohl, weiß nummer nicht, wo es weidet soll, weiß nummer nicht, wo es weidet soll. Das Hirtli, das tritt aus dem Wald durchhin, dem Feinslien vor sie's Laden blin, dem Feinslien vor sie's Laden blin. Wie's lieb und bestimme, so lass mich hin, bin jetzt schon lang verrusset gsin, bin jetzt schon lang verrusset gsin. Und ich tu dir nicht auf, und ich lass dich nicht hin, wie's Vater und Mutter ich schlafe sind, wie's Vater und Mutter ich schlafe sind. Trieb hin und trieb her und trieb hin, trieb über die Gasse zu einer anderen Fin, trieb über die Gasse zu einer anderen Fin. Und über die Gasse, das ist eben grad recht, jetzt merken ich schon, ich wieder nutz lacht, jetzt merken ich schon, ich wieder nutz lacht. Du bist mir nicht schlecht, bist mir eben grad recht, aber Vater und Mutter, die tun das so leid, aber Vater und Mutter, die tun das so leid. Tönt sie so latz, und wenn sie's nicht ha, will trotzdem nicht von der Liebe la, will trotzdem nicht von der Liebe la. Bis Leben lang und drei Tag der nah, jetzt komm, jetzt wott ich dich zu mir la, jetzt komm, jetzt wott ich dich zu mir.